Welcome to the KCII Ag Magazine on the one to count on for today's news and local information, AM and FM KCII. This program is presented by Better Performance Incorporated, Farmers Co-op and Vision Ag of Kyoto, Martin Insurance Services of West Liberty, Plank Equipment, Kyoto Schools, Sigourney and Ainsworth, the Washington County Extension Office, Riverside VFW Post 6414, Vitato Incorporated, Syngenta Seeds of Lone Tree, Girling Repair and Service, Mahaska Bottling Company, J.J. Nichting Company, Loayza County Extension Office, Farm Bureau Financial Services with Dave Steele, George's Pizza and Steakhouse, Lichty Construction and Leeson Pumping, Orchland Farm and Home, Helmuth Repair, Beatty Peterson Funeral Home, Jennifer Fagan Neighborhood Insurance, Kim Grow Incorporated, Birdo Farms, Syngenta Seeds of Washington, Just Hogsheds Custom Power Washing by John and Angie Greiner, Southeast Iowa Insurance of Kelowna and Wellman, Precision Structures Incorporated, Farmers Elevator and Exchange of Wapello, and Washington County Pheasants Forever Chapter 396. The one to count on for today's news and local information is AM and FM KCII. Our program starts next. I'm KCII News Director Sally Hart. On this segment of the KCII Ag Magazine, we focus on dairies. First, I spoke with Madison Scooball with Hilltop Dairy near Wayland.
You are a fourth-generation dairy farmer here in Washington County. Can you share why you decided to join the family effort?
I actually didn't start out wanting to come home because in high school I said 3 a.m., no, not the rest of my life. I went through one semester of college and I was like, I miss the farm, I miss the family. For me coming home, well, I love the cows. It's peaceful, it's relaxing, sometimes, not always, but most of the time. But really it's just the legacy and family for me. I'm married now and I like the idea of passing something on to the next generation, and farming in my family has always been what we pass on, and I loved coming from a farm and the work ethic I got, and so I'm spending time with my family. Not many people get to say they work side by side with their dad and grandpa, and I get to do that all summer long with my dad and grandpa, so I love it.
And here, how many cows do you have total?
So cows and heifers, we have a little over 300, and we're milking about 170 cows.
And I had a chance to get the tour, see it from calf to production. You know, what's your typical day like when you have those brand new calves?
So, for like when I come right in the mornings, 3 a.m., or if it's when I don't milk in the mornings, I always check my calf barn. If I have a fresh calf, that's the first thing I work. I give it colostrum, make sure it gets all the healthy immunosystem going. And then I work the new cow, the new mom. And then it's kind of just my normal day of feed calves or milk the cows in the morning. And then whatever you have to do during the day, that's the other nice part about farming, is it's not the same task all day, every day. I get to do something different. So it might be harvest, it might be planting, it might be fixing something. So each day is different, but I do milk every day, twice a day. So either, no matter what's in between milkings, I know that at 3 o'clock both times I'm back in the barn with the cows milking.
And as somebody who hasn't been around a dairy, how much milk does a cow produce in a day?
So it's actually kind of funny. Most people think of gallons, but farmers go off pounds. So when I check my cows, it always says, like, Alaska, my cow, she produced 60 pounds. There's 8.6 pounds in a gallon. So usually our average for our herd is each cow produces about 85 to 87 pounds of milk a day. So I guess it'd be about 10 gallons a day, give or take, something like that, the division.
And how long does it take for that milking process to happen? So from the time that you get them in the stall to milk until they're done?
Our average is 5 to 7 minutes. They're relaxed in the parlor because we can see them chewing their cud. They like to be milked because it releases the pressure. And right when they're done, they get to come back out to the barn and they head right to the feed bunk and they enjoy it. So that's the nice thing I get to see, is they walk in the parlor and they'll see me and they just kind of do their thing. And
and from here, where does the milk go?
We are part of the Prairie Farm Co-op. And so they have plants, now that they bought the Swiss Valley, they have plants north of us, but our milk goes to Quincy. And the Quincy plant makes mainly cottage cheese and a little bit of yogurt. So we just say our milk goes to cottage cheese. Sometimes they'll go to fluid milk if it goes to St. Louis, but Quincy's the closest plant to our farm, which is still an hour and a half because we're not in dairy land. We're kind of the lone ones out. So all the plants are quite a bit of a drive from our farm.
And on a national stage, we hear about dairies struggling. Is that a concern for your family?
It's hard to say because dairy's a little different. Not trying to put a halo on dairy, but dairy is a little bit different than the rest of the industries with pork and turkeys and eggs. Our industry fluctuates a lot more. We have really high highs and some really low lows, like 08 and 09. Personally, I just kind of take it as it comes. You know, we have to be good managers and know, like, think ahead. We don't just plan for tomorrow. You know, we plan for years in advance and always, but really we have great people working for us. The previous governor of Iowa, he is the national milk producer. He's the head of that, and he does a lot with our trade. And so we always get lots of updates from him, and our trade, it looks really good. I guess I can't speak much for the coronavirus right now, but it was previously looking very good. And actually, niche markets right now in the dairy industry are what's really taking off with, I mean, even in just Iowa, the Dan and Debbie's Creamery, Takis's up there, the niche markets are really becoming a popular thing. And that's what makes a lot of money for the dairy farmers. And people like it because they get to see exactly farm to table as well. So,
and you mentioned that young students have a chance to come tour your dairy. Why is it important for those younger students to see this in operation?
I can't give you the number, but I know right now if you go to school, the kids are so many generations removed from the farm. And it's not a shock, I mean, because farmers are 1% of the population. So the best part is the kids want to come. We're not, you know, pulling their leg, like, come. They ask their teachers to come. So we just want them to see the true story because kids now get exposed to social media at such a young age, and there are lots of activists online that don't post the true story about the family farm. And so, as you can see, our cows are very happy. And
they're
so
very curious. I'm surprised by how many want to come up and talk to us.
Yes, they love the new voices. And so, yeah, we just want, and even the teachers that come, they love it. They ask questions. So we just want to show the younger we can expose kids to where their food comes from, explain the farm-to-table story. And then when they get to, like, have their adopt-a-calf, they get to watch it grow. They have all kinds of questions. And I love sharing our farm story, too. So it's kind of a win-win for both of us.
That was Madison Schoolball with Hilltop Dairy. She is a fourth-generation dairy producer. I also spoke with Larry Tranel, dairy field specialist with Iowa State University Extension and Outreach.
We've been hearing at a national level about dairies struggling, especially some of those small family-owned dairies. Is that the case here in Iowa?
Yeah, it's definitely the case in Iowa as well as most of the Midwest and even a lot of the country as I travel around. So what tends to be a three-year cycle in the dairy industry that has been with us for the last 20 or 25 years, when it bottomed out this last time, that bottom actually lasted about 4 or 5 years. So instead of getting a nice little price bump once every 3 years, we actually had the bottom of the barrel, I guess I would say, for 4 or 5 years. So it has definitely put dairy farmers into a state of not just stress, but I think it's actually got into the grief phase for a lot of them. And the only other time in my career that I remember where we had this much grief in industry and agriculture is back with the land crisis of the 80s.
And what is causing this issue? Is it demand for dairy products being lower than normal? What got us to this point?
Well, I think there's a lot of alternative beverages that are definitely creating a lot of competition for dairy. So we actually see upticks in other types of dairy products that are maybe non-fluid type stuff. But as we just take a look at, we are pretty dependent on the export market for dairy and when that kind of dwindles. And so with trade and a few things like that, it definitely has caused some issues with it.
And you mentioned the stress that these dairy farms are having. What resources are available to help these producers in Iowa?
When we take a look at resources available, we're trying to work with different types of things. Like, we have a farm resource guide that really helps producers go through, like, a lot of the stress that they experience, not just on the farm, but within the family, within their marriages. And just as we take a look at mindset tactics to try to deal with the stress, I think is a pretty important piece. And so I've probably been spending close to 50% of my time, instead of dealing with just finances and facilities and dairy production type things, I've been spending about half my time just working with farm rural mental health.
And it's important to get that help.
Yeah, without a doubt, because when we take a look at, it really depends on what stage they are with how stressed out they are, but we've got some farms that are kind of caught between a rock and a hard place. They've had experiences where they really kind of need to sell out, but they can't really afford to, so they can't afford to stay in, they can't afford to stay out, and so it's definitely a stressful time for them.
Are there measures that those who aren't dairy farmers can do to help the general public, to help our neighbors who are producing dairy products?
Well, definitely to be aware. And so a lot of the farm stress sessions that I actually work with are actually for non-dairy farmers, the people that actually work with them, so that they can actually recognize some of the stress levels that they have, and to help them understand that, once farmers get to a certain point, it gets to be more and more difficult with the confusion and just emotions running high and the stress being so prolonged that they have a hard time making decisions, trying to process through what goals they might want to do. So at a time when they most need to make their best decisions, it's very difficult them both physically and mentally to do that. So we just encourage that people that are working with them to understand where they're at, but also to help them write it down so that they actually have something to work off of. Because if they're highly stressed and we try to tell them this, that, or the other thing, it's going to go in one ear and out the other. So we definitely need to write down what we would encourage them to do.
And does buying local dairy products help?
So I always tend to say that all dairy products are local at some point or someplace. So is buying local? Yeah, it's definitely a big movement, and I think it does a lot for us just to appreciate the food systems that we do have locally. But I would think that wherever they can try to market their product and get the best price for it is probably where they're best at.
And in closing, is there anything else that you would like to say directly to those dairy farmers who may be listening?
Well, I would definitely say that don't be afraid to give us a call. We've got some resources. We can't solve all the problems, but when we take a look at some of the financial issues that we're working with in the dairy industry, that we would definitely hope that we've got some tools and resources to help them understand where they're at financially and where they might realistically be able to try to attain. We also do have, I always say there's light at the end of the tunnel, and even though we have had a lot of grief in the dairy industry, like I said, in the last 4 to 5 years, which has really come to a head in the last 2 years, but when we take a look at, what kind of hope do we have as those prices start to rebound, but now we start seeing some other issues in the market, whether it be with coronavirus, this, that, and all the scare that is part of that that's kind of dampering the prices as well. So we've got more issues to deal with, and it just seems like it never ends. But let's not lose hope that we usually tend to return to a pretty meaningful life with whatever happens here as we get through it.
That was Dairy Field Specialist Larry Tranel for Iowa State University Extension and Outreach on this segment of the KCII Agriculture Magazine. I'm KCII News Director Sally Hart.
I'm Tyler Bruner with KCII News, speaking with Iowa Secretary of Agriculture, Mike Naig, about how the agriculture industry could be affected by the coronavirus outbreak on this segment of the KCII Special Agriculture Magazine.
Awesome. Why don't you just kind of give me an update on what you guys are doing when it comes to the coronavirus?
Yeah, well, certainly here at the Department of Agriculture, we're doing what agencies across government are doing at the county level, at the state level, and also what the private sector is doing, and that's contingency planning, looking at how to continue our operations and do so in a way that's, safe first and foremost for our employees, but our customers as well, and also that we're continuing to deliver on the mission of the Department of Ag and making sure that we're delivering business critical services to our customers. And again, we're working in close coordination with the governor, who's leading the response for the state of Iowa, working with agencies, interacting with our federal partners, and of course interacting with the private sector, talking to a lot of stakeholders and seeing what issues they're experiencing and things that we can do to try to be helpful.
Right, for sure. And when it comes to the fact of the matter, we're getting into spring, we're getting into peak crop season, people are starting to plant, and when this came up, we didn't know what was going to happen. So if you had to make some sort of educated guess, how do you think this is going to affect the crop season?
Well, we're certainly looking at supply chain management and potential for supply chain disruption. And so, you know, we know that in terms of spring planting, of course, there's a lot of inputs that we need to get out to the front line, get them into the farmers' hands, and so they can get a crop in the ground on time this year. We also are looking at the output side, too, everything from, you know, our meat packing facilities and keeping international trade and exports ongoing. And you know, those are all things that are very, very important and will have an impact on the markets. And we're seeing that with Wall Street, but we're also seeing it with commodity prices. And ultimately, all of that impacts our farmers' livelihood and our businesses that support those farmers. And so, you know, this all is very important to us. And again, things that we can really be focused on are how do we minimize impacts to the supply chain at this time. And unfortunately, the best we can say is that really only time will tell to what extent coronavirus will impact those supply chains. But we're all hopeful that this will pass sooner rather than later, and that we can largely have an unaffected spring when it comes to getting the crop in the ground.
And you're exactly right by saying that. You know, only time is going to tell on what really the effects of this is going to be. And that's the kind of thing that isn't the best thing, is that, you know, we want to know answers now, but we're going to have to wait. But what are some things that farmers can take advantage of right now? What are some of those resources that farmers can take advantage of to make sure that they're prepared when they're going to be able to plant here, hopefully in the next couple of months?
Well, first and foremost is everybody needs to be thinking about what they can do to slow the spread of COVID-19. And again, the governor has been very clear and direct in the guidance that she's giving to Iowans, and you know that following CDC recommendations and Iowa Department of Public Health recommendations, you know, if you're not feeling well, do not go to work. If you're not feeling well, limit your exposure to other people and to animals. If you're not feeling well, call your physician and make sure you're talking those things through. Limit public gatherings now of, you know, no more than 10 people. And really just be smart and practical. Wash hands, limit exposure. Those are all the things that every single Iowan can be doing to help address the situation. And then when it comes to our farmers, of course, they simply just need to make sure that they're thinking about every scenario and contingency planning for, you know, again, how would they get a crop in the ground even if supply chains were disrupted. We're encouraging that, whether in the livestock industry, the crop side of things, food production, that folks need to be thinking about every contingency that they can think of and try to stay on track and to watch the situation and adjust accordingly.
Right, exactly. And, you know, times like these are difficult. And, you know, these are times where we're really thankful for the farmers that are out there putting in the work and allowing to put food on our tables so that we can, you know, hopefully be okay during these times.
Well, agriculture and food is such an essential service, right, to Americans, but certainly to Iowans. We know that, you know, our buying habits have changed here a little bit. Lots of folks are at the grocery store, but we know that food doesn't come from the grocery store, it comes from the farm. And so that's why it's important that whether we're working with the FDA or with USDA or agencies here within government, that we continue to be focused on producing safe and affordable food and making sure that it's available to Americans. And so it is important that even though we may be disrupted because of this, but that there are some things that must happen, and those regulatory programs and providing those business critical services absolutely must be top of mind for agencies like ours.
Yeah, that's very true. You know, getting those answers out to people, because in times like these, you know, where we're in an information savvy world, you know, those answers are going to be more critical than ever to get out there. And, you know, working alongside with everybody is just going to make us feel safer and make farmers know that, you know, we're here for them and we're going to be able to get on the better side of this situation.
This too shall pass. And again, it'll be because if we shorten the duration of this, it'll be because we've taken it seriously and taken mitigation steps in order to lessen the impact.
Yeah, that's very much true. Is there anything else, Mike, that you want to update listeners on when it comes to this situation and what the agriculture field or just market could look for, or just anything that you have to give listeners that would be great to know?
Well, I think that for farmers and for people involved in agriculture, that there's a lot of great resources out there. Of course, you can visit our website, iowaagriculture.gov. We've got a lot of links to great information, again, from the CDC, from the Iowa Department of Public Health. We link to the announcements that the governor has been making, and it is just really important that folks monitor the situation and adjust accordingly, but really, really be thinking about all the contingencies that could play out here and be as prepared as possible.
That was Iowa Secretary of Agriculture Mike Naig speaking about how the agriculture industry could be affected by the coronavirus outbreak on this segment of the KCII Special Agriculture Magazine. I'm Tyler Bruner with KCII News. That concludes this edition of the KCII Ag Magazine. On the one to count on for today's news and local information, AM and FM, KCII. This program was presented by Prairie Mutual Insurance Association, McDonald Boneyard, Miller Electric, Katz Grain, Keokuk County Veterans Affairs, McDonald Boneyard, MD Orthopedics, Capper Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram, Washington Hy-Vee, Cash and Carry Chemicals, Lyons Appliance and Repair, R&L Services, Iowa Grow Incorporated, Lynn Painting and Coatings, Tyson Food Incorporated, Fairfield Parks and Rec, Friends in Electric, State Senator Kevin Kenney, Hospice of Washington County, Hogslat, Brighton Meat Locker, Federation Bank, Farm and Home Mutual Insurance, Easy Sales and Engineering, Riverside Casino and Golf Resort, Peterson Insurance and Lincoln Mutual Insurance of Lone Tree, Connie Larson and Home Team Advantage Realtors, State Representative Jared Klein, Washington Walmart, St. James Catholic Church, ICS Insurance Services, Washington Lumber and Home Center, Southeast Iowa Diesel Service, Producers Livestock Marketing, Washington McDonald's, and Brenneman Pork and Sinclair Tractor. You can find this program archived on our website at kciiradio.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is AM and FM, KCII.